This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
And I've noticed that we have got a wide range of people here. And I'm also pleased that we have got people from social enterprises here, because some of what I want to talk about is about the wider organisational strategy. It's so important to do the community development, I always say, in terms of whether you set up a mutual or community-led organisations, and the organisational development hand in hand. My background is, as well as the executive type of roles from a range of sectors, it is very much around empowerment, community development and accountability. So whether it's empowerment and accountability within an organisation or empowerment and accountability working with the community. So I'm going to cover more about what we are doing as an organisation and how we're defining ourselves. So the first thing I wanted to start with was really going more detailed by what we mean by the term the entrepreneurial council with a social enterprise mindset. And I'll explain a little bit about that. And I think the key message I want to give during my presentation is it's more than simply legal structures. Avoid the risks of it's flavour of the month, let's create a legal structure, cut our colleagues adrift, and all those aspects of what's involved here. And I'm sure you all know that, and that's one of the reasons you're here. And I'm certainly giving a perspective here. And when I mention West Lindsay, the Entrepreneurial Council with a Social Enterprise Mindset, we looked at the sort of whole concept of small state, big society and localism. And within reducing budgets, of course, there were major challenges, but we basically said, what's the opportunity here? Rather than sort of say, we need more guidance nationally on what does this all mean, how do we define what this subject means? So I want to just explain what it means for us at West Lindsay, because part of this, I think, is really about you as organisations or local authorities defining it for yourselves in your own style and what matters locally. And also that, you know, mutuals, joint ventures or whatever, what we do and why we do it. So if I start off with the West Lindsay way, we looked at the concept of state. So if we're a council, what does that mean in terms of as a council? And big society, what does that mean for us defining that? And then also within the sort of concept of localism. And for us, we feel this whole aspect of small state, its new role, and big society works well within the local level. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about those three concepts. If I start, first of all, by localisms, well, one of the things that's always struck me as a national advisor, sometimes working with my colleagues who work largely at a national level, is that sometimes it's assumed localism is very much about one level. Well, there are a lot of levels at a local level as well. And for us at a county level, this isn't about county councils either. It's about organisations who function at a county level, whether it's fire services or whether it's the police, health and so on, that function at that level. And certainly for a unitary type of authority, county and district level is combined. So hopefully you'll relate to that as a unitary authority delegate if you're here. What we've basically, the dialogue we've been having is very much at county level, the strategic commissioning, the infrastructure for places such as highways, commissioning, you know, waste disposal and certain type of waste collection services, rather than just look at traditionally what have we as organisations provided in our little empires. At district level, we've concentrated very much on coordinating delivery and coordinating community action, the infrastructure for community action to happen. At area level, our district, for example, is a very large district. Geographically, it's probably the size or half the size of London, with three major market towns. So a lot of urban deprivation, with some of the wards the most deprived in the country, and equally a lot of very rural prosperous areas and rural deprivation. So, you know, we've got a range of diversity, both in terms of the nature of the districts and deprivation levels. So we've moved to area level in terms of defining spatially what the priorities are. And at that level, what I certainly found with my community development experience is that that's where you get the key sort of partners, such as community groups or parish council representatives or police colleagues or health. They tend to engage more at that level because it's very much the planning type of approach rather than the volunteering community action. And then moving on to neighbourhood village level, what we've got is a prior targeted neighbourhood approach at that level, and then a universal approach at street level to neighbourhoods. So the neighbourhood village level is very much about priority estates that are deprived and what we can all do together. And equally at village level, some of the rural poverty issues we have or accessibility issues we have. And we've also got the complexity. I hope none of you have got MOD sites. It's certainly been a learning experience for me, new in this, well, not new, but a year in this post, is these MOD sites that, you know, were created years ago during the war, and suddenly Ministry of Defence left, handed over to Defence Estates. We've got to maximise money for the Treasury, and it's almost like asset stripping, selling it to the cheapest bidder. And what we've got is communities not cohesive, no facilities left. And so we're doing some work there in terms of trying to build cohesive communities and working with partners. Street level, as I say, very much we're using Neighbourhood Watch as a brand and saying how do we turn that into watching out for your neighbourhoods and doing some of that work at street level. And the police and ourselves are very active in that area. And then individual level, it's very much, again, the role of the individual and our volunteering strategies and so on. So the council and the state. I don't know whether any of you have heard of the analogy from player to groundsman. Has anybody heard of that analogy? You've heard of the analogy teaching people how to fish rather than fish for them? Well, it's similar. Basically, you know, I suppose all those of you football fans or any type of sport fans, is that, you know, normally when people have come to us as the state, it's always we've got to sort the problem. And there's that, you know, we know there's a level of dependency we can't sustain anymore in terms of, you know, where we're going as a country and society. And so what we've basically said is how do we move from player but with a community development role to becoming more of a coach, and then gradually to groundsman, where groundsman is much more about providing the infrastructure for communities themselves to be players, help themselves, and we're providing the tools for communities to help themselves. Community development also, particularly in local government, and I also think in parts of the NHS, in terms of my knowledge of the NHS, is sometimes seen as a service that sits within an organisation somewhere, and what we're doing is basically say this is a mindset that is across all business units and it's across all partnerships. Combined with that, entrepreneurial, we're much more, you know, moving much more to being income focused and commercial and, you know, results and opportunities creative. And we liken ourselves that we want to be more like the co-op with a social and ethical conscience where we have business units. Some we might subsidise, some might break even, and some might generate a surplus. So, you know, and that's how the cooperative work. And I've personally felt we need to associate ourselves more with the co-op as a council than with John Lewis. But that's about where we are as an authority. And I know some are sort of looking at John Lewis as a model, and particularly for today in terms of the subject mutuals. And then our role, as I said earlier, about moving to groundsman, which is about the infrastructure and support. Big society in West Lindsay, what that means for us is first of all, it's about a range of players, and it's whether it's citizens, community groups, businesses, particularly small businesses. Sometimes we don't engage with some of the smaller businesses who are equally just as concerned about being active in their community and doing more for their community. Social enterprises, voluntary sector. And what we've done over the year is develop relationships, not just with our public sector partners, where we've had a framework, you know, regulatory frameworks to work in partnership and so on, but much more with our businesses and social enterprises, so that we have got relationships of trust and mutual respect. You all know that's the starting point, isn't it? And then much more about that common leadership of purpose. How are we all going to work for the place? And then for us, we feel our role is, along with our partners, is helping to connect communities to each other. So some of the type of infrastructure we're talking about is, for example, we haven't cut any of our funding to the voluntary sector. We've maintained it. And particularly concentrating on core funding. You know, we have been quite robust with some of our funding, whereas in some cases, you know, certain voluntary sector grants, we just hadn't looked at them for years and just handed it over. We are, again, being more robust about helping to develop their social enterprise culture and becoming less grant dependent. But the main thing we recognise is that core funding is needed rather than simply it's a contract and the sector out there can deliver a contract. And so it's supporting those infrastructure groups, whether it's the Council for Voluntary Service, Citizens Advice Bureau, the Volunteer Bureau, all those different types of infrastructure groups that are crucial, and we support them and they can support the rest of the voluntary sector and the community sector with us. And then there's neighbourhood management, putting in place an infrastructure to support neighbourhood management. I was just talking to a colleague when we were having tea earlier this morning about the BBC programme The Street. I don't know whether many people have been watching that. I've not seen it, but she was telling me about it. And that's a classic example there, that big society isn't about just letting go and dumping on the community. It requires support, infrastructure and community development. And the other thing that we're scoping with some potential partners is a community internet TV and social media. And what I mean by community internet TV is not a council internet site. My vision is that gradually our council internet sites become smaller and smaller and smaller. And what we have is a community partnership internet site. The thing about TV is live broadcasting. We've already got our local schools where we've got, you know, youngsters doing some research and broadcasting for us. And utilising this site as a portal for all members of our community to connect to each other much more. So that's about the technology to help people to connect to each other. And we're developing a volunteering strategy with the County Council. And again, it's about understanding the different types of volunteering, how we can accredit some and give qualifications, so, you know, helping people get into jobs. So it's that whole pathway from no job into a job and the role volunteering plays. Or, you know, integrating some of it into our structure. So we've got a theatre where, you know, as part of reducing the costs on a tapered basis, we moved to volunteering. But the key thing has been about integrating it into the staff structure, so you've got much more of that team working going on in an organised manner. So, as I say, even volunteering itself needs quite a bit of thought about how you do it, for whom and why. In terms of mutuals and social enterprise, my personal perspective on this is that recognise the existing local and national talent. One of the things we're doing is not jumping into mutual straight away. I've said something right at the bottom of this slide, which I deliberately wanted to provoke the audience, that, you know, why create a different legal wrapper? If it's working well, why? And if it's low performing, don't outsource or make legal a problem and set your colleagues up to fail. So there's some of my concerns about the risk, but I'm not saying don't do it, because equally I've you know, formed leisure trusts, and I've in community-led multi-use organisations running, you know, library services and all sorts of things. I'm just saying, think this through and make sure your organisational strategy and culture is also right, rather than simply somebody jumping into it flavour of the month and you feel you've got to help deliver that flavour of the month for them. And when I say recognise local and national talent, one of the things, you know, we're scoping, as I said, we're not, you know, looking at it yet, but we're scoping, is a consortium with some national players such as the Community Action Network, Social Investment Business, of whom I used to be a non-exec director, and also some local social enterprises, the local co-op. We're still scoping this. I'm not saying we're going to form a consortium, but the concept we're looking at is a consortium that could work as a trading organisation, bidding for and running services. Because, again, my bit of advice is, let's not just jump into putting another legal wrapper of doing things the same way. Let's look at this as an opportunity to integrate and rethink services both across the public sector, NHS local authority, you know, we're talking social care a lot here, do it with community services in the NHS, and also look at the hybrid model of where can volunteering fit in with the paid posts and so on, and most importantly, start with the outcomes. You know, this is strategic commissioning. Let's start doing strategic commissioning far better. So it's that thought that I'm advising that we should really look at. And then equally joint ventures. Whilst we haven't formed mutuals, what we've done is, and this has been part of changing the culture within the organisation, when I say we create a social enterprise mindset within the organisation, is Future Jobs Fund, for example, is an example where we are working with a social enterprise called Hill Holt Wood. And they've provided capabilities we've not had, including some of that entrepreneurial mindset and thinking, and we've provided capabilities, and between us, you know, it's been one of the country's leading job funds in terms of exceeding its targets, and had plenty of, you know, sort of prime ministerial visit or whatever in the last year. Same with Community Land Trust. Rather than us trying to set something up, we are again working with two social enterprises in that area. So again, and it's another joint venture in terms of how we're looking at it, where the long-term vision is forming something that the community can run themselves. So to conclude, really, my advice is that when you're thinking about this, think about the organisational development and the community development hand in hand. The cultures and the mindsets are really crucial. Please, 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 as the public sector, we are so good at transaction and process. Don't just jump into this thinking it's a legal process and let's set it up. Biggest aspect of the public sector for us is about cultural change. It's not simply a new structure. And understand your local social enterprises and the national ones. There are a lot of excellent players out there who may not be members of your CVS and so on, and particularly local authorities. You know, it's not necessarily the traditional voluntary sector you've grant funded. There's a lot of activity out there in each of your areas. Go out and discover it. Thank you.